Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
I want to acknowledge that it's Pentecost Sunday, and in acknowledging that, not try to focus too much just on the Pentecostal thing, although some of that theme will come through the message. How many people know that Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. I think it's a key concept, key revelation of the Bible that regardless of the fact of where you've come from in your walk prior to Christ, when you come into Christ, everything starts new, right? Okay, I think it's basic scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I think. It says, behold, all things have become new. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Obviously, that's the spirit man's new, but then the soul man has to be renewed. Is that right? And that happens by the renewing of the mind. But then another thing that needs to get saved is our tongue. Because right now, your tongue is either producing death or life, depending on how you try to choose to use it. Are you with me? So we're going to go down that line today because I do believe God wants to give many of you a new tongue. In fact, I believe many of you need a new tongue. I know some of you need a new tongue because I've sat as you've chatted to me as your pastor and you've used words that reveal you need a new tongue. And that's just the staff meeting. Thank you, Jesus, for a church full of humour and smarty pants. Come on, phone work. And so I love the fact that we celebrated Mother's Day last week. And can I once again just honour all the mums? I think you're amazing. I think you're helping to shape our world and change our world. And we need you to do what you do. Just like we need dads to be dads, we need mums to be mums. One day as a small child, Thomas Edison came home from school and gave a paper to his mother. He said to her, "Mum, my teacher gave this paper to me and told me only you are to read it. What does it say?" Her eyes welled up with tears as she read the letter out loud to her child. "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have good enough teachers to train him. Please teach him yourself." His mother did just that until she fell ill and passed away. Many years after Edison's mother died, he became one of the greatest inventors of the century. One day, he was going through some of her things and found the folded letter that his old teacher wrote to his mother that day. So he opened it. The message written on the letter was, "Your son is mentally deficient. We cannot let him attend our school anymore. He is expelled." Edison became emotional reading it and then wrote in his diary, "Thomas A. Edison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into the genius of the century." I do believe that God wants to give you a new tongue so that you can understand and experience the power of a tongue that brings life. And so with that thought in mind, I want to go to Mark chapter 16 and start reading to you from verse 15, and this is what it reads. The key thought behind this, first off this morning, is the full gospel. We need to come in contact with the full gospel. "You are to go to all the world and preach the good news to every person. He who puts his trust in me and is baptized will be saved from the punishment of sin." It's probably the first place we need to stop and just look at verse 16 that says, number one, if you put your trust in him and are baptized, that you will be saved from the punishment of sin. There's two things: placing your faith in God through surrendering to Christ and being baptized. And I don't only believe that includes water baptism. we know that the baptisms that are clearly revealed in the New Testament, there's three of them. There's baptism in water for the remission of sins. There's baptism into the church as you become part of the family of God. And there's a Holy Spirit baptism that is clearly outlined in the New Testament. I think there's another two that you could probably have debates over, but I believe in them anyway. But the reality here is the overall arching thought is it's not about just believing in Christ and saying, yep, tick that box and move on. It's about immersion. It's about being immersed in the Word of God. It's about being immersed into the community of faith. It's not just about attending church. It's about becoming a part of the church. And that whole immersion principle changes you. You have been designed by God to take on the nature of the substance that surrounds you. So if you get around people who are speaking life, you'll find yourself speaking life. If you are wired that way and you find yourself around people who are speaking death, you'll do everything within you, within yourself, within your own power to resist the tendency to end up there. But guarantee you, if you stay there long enough, you're going to end up speaking death instead of life. That's why when you get saved, when you come to Christ, He does expect you to leave the world and become a part of the community of faith so that you can be surrounded by people who are godly instead of ungodly. I reckon I just started to preach then and you could probably help me out a little. Thank you. Thank you for massaging my ego just a little. The first part was trusting in Him. The second part was baptism, which means immersion. But then it says, and I wish I could change this, it says, if you do that, you'll be saved from the punishment of sin. I wish it said you'd be saved from the practice of sin, because that'd make this whole walk with God a whole lot easier, don't you think? But Jesus paid the penalty of sin so that we would be removed from the punishment of sin, so that then we would have the opportunity to stop the practice of sin. It's only once you've surrendered to Christ, receive His cleansing blood by faith, that you're removed from the punishment of sin. Well, I don't know about you. I still find on a daily basis, I've got to resist the practice of sin. Goes on to say, but he who does not put his trust in me is guilty and will be punished forever. These special powerful works will be done by those who put their trust in me. Can I do an honest survey right now? Quick one, by the nature of raising hands. So in a moment, you're going to have to move, okay? Just letting you know if you're going to respond. Could I just see really briefly and really like confidently and boldly, you say you're not that type of person, you are right now. Could I see right now how many people here have put their trust in Christ? All right, I like that idea. It's most of you. This is what it says about you. These special, powerful works will be done by those who have put their trust in me. In my name, they will put out demons. I like that. You know, one of the old translations says cast out. And that sounds a bit weird and wacky, so put out is kind of better. I don't care whether you're casting it out or putting it out, but you and I are called to put the enemy out of our world, out of our words, out of our thoughts, out of our workplaces, out of our homes, out of our family, out of our friends. Hello, somebody. We're called to put him out. And he says, you can do it in his name. It doesn't say the pastors only will be able to do it. The specially gifted Africans will be able to do it. Because we all know that the Africans are specially gifted, especially if you're watching the wedding last night. Dude, that guy is seeking forgiveness this morning because he sure didn't get permission for that, I guarantee it. And I love it. I thought, you go, dude. If I was there, I'd be taking my opportunity too. But listen, the first part of what the Bible says will follow you as a believer is that you will put out demons. And I don't know what you've been told by religious philosophers or what the enemy may have been putting in your ear, but you need to know that you have absolute authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus to put him out of any area you need to put him out of. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, I believe it's verse 19, that God has given you all authority and power over every work of darkness, and nothing shall by any means harm you. How flipping good is that? Like, you've got to have the word flipping before it, otherwise it just doesn't sound the same. How flipping good is that? There's five things here that the Bible says will follow you as a sign because you believe. And that first one is put the devil out. And so as you cast across the horizon of your life and look at different areas, I want to encourage you as we move forward to put him out. As God gives you a new tongue, put him out. But then the next one is equally part of your inheritance. It says, they will speak with languages they've never learned. It's going to give you a new tongue. And this is not some denominational bent or thought. It's a promise to believers that you will speak with languages you haven't learned. I can't tell you how many times in my life when I've come up against that wall of unbelief or doubt in my brain in terms of my own faith and walking in God, whether on the overarching issue of faith or on a specific issue of finances or healing or whatever, when doubt clouds in, the very first thing I do now out of just experience is I go to praying in that language that I've not learned. Because the moment I do that, I go, oh, that's just a reminder of the miracle work and power of God. I didn't learn that language. It was dropped in my spirit. It flows out of my belly. And it just puts me in a place where Jude 1 and verse 17 says you can pray building yourself up on your most holy faith. And I know that today many of you have been influenced by other thoughts and teachings of traditional and maybe religious thought lines. But here's the reality. There's a sign that God said will flow out of your life because you believe in him. And one of those signs is that you will speak in languages you have not learned. It goes on to say that they will pick up snakes. And I don't believe you need to prove your own salvation by going out there and finding a dugite and picking it up. I do believe that that's more of a reference to the reality of our authority over the enemy and authority, and we don't have to be concerned about the backlash of the enemy. I think that's a religious thought. It's a religious thought to say, because I've gone and broken through here, the enemy's going to attack me over there and I've just got to put up with it. No, no bites from the enemy are going to affect you. It also does actually reveal in the book of Acts that in reality, Paul experienced the bite of a poisonous snake and it did not kill him because of his surrender to Christ. Are you with me? Goes on to say, after that, they'll put their hands on the sick people and they will be healed. And it seems like we accept all of that of the inheritance. We accept four out of the five quite easily. It's that one on languages we've not learned that has become more and more difficult for believers to move into. And today, I want to help arm you with the Word of God so that you can receive a new tongue. Anybody ready for a new tongue today? I had two people come up to me after service and say, oh, Pastor, it's amazing. I got a new tongue today. You see, when it comes to communicating to God, when it comes to having a prayer life with God, we're in the middle of a focused time of prayer. When it comes to God speaking to you, there's basically four main channels that God uses and that we communicate with God. Number one is the written word of God. It's like an email in today's terms. I don't know about you, I have two accounts. One's my church account, the other one's my private account. I try and send all my private stuff to my private email account. The only problem about that is I have all that other news feed stuff and other things on there. And so every day there's 30 or 40 emails I've got to go through to find the ones that are really the ones I need to get. Anyone have that problem? And I try and unsubscribe, but I don't know what happens. They just keep coming back. But this week I'm so thankful as I'm scrolling through my personal account, I find an email that I was about to delete, then I went, oh, no, that's not junk. Let me read that. And the email told me that I was going to get $500 back from my internet service provider because they have not been able to provide me the speed they promised. And then if I filled out the form, I'd get the $500 back. I went, yeah. But you know what? That's just like the Word of God. It's like an email. It's in your inbox. But there's no power. It's absolutely useless to you unless you read it. You've got to open it and read it to enjoy its benefits. That's the first way God speaks to us, through his written word. He wrote it down because it can be relied upon. The second way that I know that for my life is through this thing called supernatural tongues, or a language that I haven't learned, based upon God's perfect will, its irreplaceable power, it's undeniable in its unction. It's like that digital satellite out there in the atmosphere that at any time I can make a phone call, receive emails, download what I need, upload what I need, surf the information highway of God, because at any time I choose to, I can pray in that language I've not learned. Are you with me? Third dominant way that God speaks to us and we speak to him is through what we would call that God-breathed word. You know that moment you're driving down the road or you're in the shower or you're doing your shopping, whatever it is, and God speaks to your heart and you just know it's him. And you carry it in your heart, you're like, yeah, that's God. And then you find yourself in a place of devotion or at Connect Group, or you come to church on Sunday and God confirms that word that he spoke in your heart through his written word. Do you know what I'm talking about? I love that because it's really powerful. It's kind of like God specifically speaking to you in time and season about you. It's kind of like getting a mobile call from God, don't you think? It's like, oh, private number. I wonder who that is. Oh, it's God. And then the fourth way is through our normal, everyday native language of prayer, which I find is not as reliable as we think it is. Oops. Well, let me say it to you this way. It's in your native tongue. It's based upon, it's proportionate to the effective degree that you have renewed your mind, understand the word of God. It's about as powerful as and as healthy as you are mentally, which most of the time, for most of us, that's good. But it's limited. Once you've spent a fair bit of time there with what you know to pray in your mother tongue from the Word of God to the degree that you have renewed your mind to the Word of God and the promises of God, there, you pray, correct? But that's as far as it goes. I believe that tongues that you have not learned is a very powerful force that God wants to unlock at a new level in your life. And I'd say it to you this way, if all you've heard is philosophy from somebody else, then you're set up in a prime position to be cheated out of the power of God, the inheritance of God. In Colossians 2, it says that we should not let anyone lead us astray with empty philosophy or high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking. And I would say there's a lot of human thinking surrounding tongues today. I would say that I'm not here to pick a debate or a fight. I generally do that in other realms, around fires, talking to the brothers. But I would say that you need to get a clear perspective of what this book says about praying in languages you've not learned. Here's clearly what it says. It says that this is what's been given to believers. We have been given diversity of tongues. Can you say diversity? And what that means is there's more than one tongue that's been given to us. There's four diversities or manifestation of tongues outlined in Scripture. The first and most dominant one that you would experience if you're part of this church and this community of faith is tongues for personal edification. That's where at any time I choose, I can begin to pray in that language that I have not learned. And as I do that, I will build myself up in my most holy faith. I will strengthen myself spiritually. I will pray the perfect will of God for my life, for others, and for other things every time I choose to pray in the language I did not learn. Would you agree? Would you agree? The second manifestation was actually where it first showed up in the book of Acts, where is tongues for a sign, as a sign for unbelievers. And that meant that when the church gathered corporately, they were praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit fell, they prayed in tongues, and others heard them speaking their language and talking about the praises of God, the goodness of God, the wonders of God. I said it in the first service, I'll say it again here. I didn't expect what happened in the first service to happen, but I was leading a prayer meeting 22 years ago, I was told after the service. I thought it was 15. On a Wednesday night, I was up on the platform leading a prayer service and I began to pray out in tongues as I normally did, finished the service, got down off the platform, and a gentleman met me in the aisle. They're actually members again of this church now. His name is John. He says, Pastor, I did not know that you spoke fluent Romanian. To which I replied, neither did I. What are you talking about? And he began to say, when you got up there, you said this, this, and this clearly in perfect Romanian. While I said that in the first service, John's wife, Mariana, who happened to be in the meeting, said, yeah, that was my husband. It was 22 years ago, not 15. I went, oh, it's because I'm nearly 50 and my memory's fading. Tongues as a sign for unbelievers. Second manifestation. Third manifestation, not necessarily in order, but in order of my memory,
is tongues for interpretation. This is the one where religious philosophy comes in and tries to tell churches that it is wrong for corporate gatherings to take place where people pray in other tongues, based upon that manifestation of tongues only. That manifestation of tongues goes something like this. For example, we're in the middle of worship. Chris Foster feels a strong moving in his spirit that God is calling him to bring a message to the church corporately in tongues. He comes to the meeting host and says, "Pastor, I think I've got a word for the church." I say, "Yeah, sure, go for it. I trust you, get up there." He comes up and he speaks only in tongues to the congregation. The Bible says in that moment, nothing else should take place until either he or someone else brings the interpretation. Go ahead and say, "That's really good Bible teaching, Pastor." Tongues for interpretation. And then the final manifestation that I refer to as the four diversities of tongues would be tongues for deep intercessional groanings. That's the weird one. No, that definitely is the weird one. I would say three of the four manifestations are for public meetings, open meetings. I would say the fourth one, generally speaking, tend to be private at home or closed door invite only prayer meetings. Some of you have been in some of them that I've hosted and we've gone there. And listen, friends, there's nothing, it is weird when that hits and a grown man like myself ends up on the floor in the fetal position making noises no man should make. Can we be honest? Some of you are going, "I've never heard or seen of that. What on earth are you talking about?" Maybe you'll get exposed to it one day, maybe you won't. But here's the deal. Out of the four manifestations, one of those manifestations is as you will. One of them is kind of on lock for you at any time, and that is tongues for personal edification. The other three are always only as the Holy Spirit wills. And for some reason, we don't see a lot of it in our modern church. I would say it's got to do with the season of the global church. Sometimes it's to do with the structure of the church. Sometimes it's to do with the maturity or lack of maturity. Hence, we are here today looking at it so that we can grow into a greater level of understanding. Does that help you? The key thought is this: God wants to give you a new tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I'm thinking about Mrs. Edison right now and thinking, my goodness, if the mums of today could have such discernment, such spiritual understanding, that in the moment of reading that letter, she didn't go to, "What have you been doing at school, Thomas? I'm going to get your father to talk to you when you get home." And listen, mums, please don't do that. We don't want to come home and tell the kids off because you haven't... It's like if all our kids get is you wait till your father gets home and you wonder why when dad gets home, they're not looking forward to see dad. Come on, brothers, I'm helping you out. Back me up here. I'm going to do it with or without you. But anyway, moving on. That was in the notes. God wants to give you a new tongue. The Bible makes it very clear in Ephesians, I believe it's the fifth chapter, where it says that there's a number of things that should not even come out of the mouth of a believer. Foul language, coarse jokes, hateful communication, loose lips, gossip, strife. Just breathe in deeply. Read out. I'm praying it would be conviction, not condemnation in the atmosphere. But I believe God wants to clean our lips up so that he can use them powerfully in our lives and the lives of others.
I also believe that God wants to put his spirit in you to a degree that actually brings about a transformation. I don't want to be a part of Christianity that is just this celebration concert that we go to on the weekend. I believe the gospel in its fullness brings transformation into people's lives, including my own. What happened when the other tongues first broke out in the New Testament church? The atmosphere of the meeting place was filled with a sound from heaven. Supernatural appearances took place across the congregation. Every person was filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Godly people not gathered in the meeting heard the sound from heaven, came and heard believers speaking their languages, and were bewildered because they all did not have the natural ability to do so. The godly people were beside themselves when they seen it. I think there's some things that need to happen in church services that make us beside ourselves. I can't believe that happened at church today in a good way, not a weird way. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Those who were filled were speaking about the wonderful things God had said. Some in the crowd mocked them and said, they are drunk. So from day one, this thing had a bit of controversy connected to it. We just got to accept that if we're spiritual people. This is what Jesus said. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. I love how he clarified it here for the disciples. Check this out on our Bible on the screen. Check this out. This is what it says. For you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This was the moment in time where you can't call it the Old Testament, you can't call it the New Testament. It was that transition moment where Jesus said, you know what? The Holy Spirit's been with you, but he will be in you. He was talking about the day of Pentecost with the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. He was talking about that time. He says, there's a difference than Jesus, the Holy Spirit being with you, to him being in you. When I go to the shops with my grandchildren and they're with me, it's possible that I can forget I got little ones with me. And that's why I hold them, because it's kind of like they're in me, but they're not. You know what I'm saying? Here's the deal. We've got to understand the difference between the Holy Spirit being with us and the baptism of the Holy Spirit when he's in us. You see, when he is with you, he is present. But when he is in you, you have his presence. When he is with you, he goes with you. When he is in you, you follow his lead. When he is with you, you have him, but when he is in you, he has you. When he is with you, you can disregard him. When he is in you, if you disregard him, you'll grieve him. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and started to walk in that direction, everything changes. It changes from the inside out. And there, if through humanity, through weakness, through an open door, through whatever, you do something wrong, that has an impact on the inside of you. Who knows what I'm talking about? Who has felt the grieving? Come on, put your hands up and help me out here. You felt the grieving because you have done something that has caused him pain. I believe that God wants to give us a fresh encounter with the baptism of the Holy Spirit for those of us already received it. And for those who have not gone into that zone, God is saying, I have this for you. Will you receive the full gospel so that you can get a new tongue? I believe that we have children like Edison that have been falsely prophesied over by the schools of this day, the medical systems of this day, the culture of this day. And it's time for mums and dads to have the discernment and the wisdom to speak a new thing over their life, to declare the promises of God in Jesus' name. Your tongue has the solution for every single problem going on in your world. He said, you will speak new languages. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you today that as we come into this moment of time that you said we're going to become stronger spiritually as we spend time praying in a language we've not learned. Father, you said that that tongue would connect us with your power and bring about change and reveal your perfect plan for our lives. Father, I'm asking you today that as we come to this moment that you would allow your grace to flow in this way, Holy Spirit, you would begin to visit every single person in the room and give them a brand new tongue. God, I know there's people here today that need to recognize that they've used their tongue to speak death and not life, and that today is ultimately about making a decision to harness, to bridle, to control the tongue so that it speaks life and not death. In Jesus' name. You know, just as we come to this moment, I'm thinking about a time, it's more than 22 years ago, I used to be a contractor connecting mains power to newly built homes. Take the power from the street, put it into the meter box on the side of the house. Used to have a digger to do that. Back in those days, you didn't have Google Maps. You had a UBD. Anyone used to have a UBD? All the fossils. And you'd go to that book, new subdivision, and it's not in the UBD. You'd have a printed fax, had faxes back in those days, from the office that sometimes were right, most times were wrong. It'd give you the lot number of where you needed to go. I was a contractor. In the first 3 weeks of doing that, fresh out of Bible college, I was frustrated because I got paid by the number of meters of power cable laid. And I would spend half my day trying to find a street that wasn't on the map and a lot number that wasn't there. After 3 weeks of frustration, I'm in my prayer closet that morning with God saying, I am frustrated with this thing. I thought you said to do this job, but it's costing me more than it's making. And I had my whole time with God where, you know, you try and make it about God, but it's really about you. And at the end of it, I felt the Holy Spirit say, if you would just yield to me and listen to my voice, I'll show you how to do this thing. I jumped in my FJ40, decided from that moment that I jumped in the truck in the morning until I got to the first location, I would pray in the Holy Ghost, and I would pray in the Holy Ghost the whole day, operating that digger, doing what I needed to do in preparation for the next location. Do you know what happened over the next 3 weeks? I think I said double in the first service. I think my income tripled in the next 3 weeks, and then I stayed at that level. Because instead of trying to work it out from the UBD or work it out from the fact sheet, I would get to the end of where the directions lied and just go, Holy Spirit, which way? And he would say left, he would say right, he would say straight, and I would land on the job quicker than ever before, because the Holy Spirit has the ability to give you an unfair advantage in an unfair world. Hello, somebody. He has the ability. You think he's not concerned with your everyday coming and going? Why did he say you'll be blessed in your going and you'll be blessed in your coming if he wasn't going to help you be blessed? Let me tell you, one of the offshoots, one of the byproducts, one of the benefits of building this relationship in the Spirit, building this intimacy with God where you hear his voice, is it'll give you an unfair advantage in an unfair world.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.